That's just the sweetest piece of music. I first got onto it at least a dozen years or so ago, and it just never left me. It's just gorgeous. But just so you know, that was one of my favorites now. Sonny Stitt on alto and later on tenor sax, opening one of my favorites, Blues Greasy. Bobby Timmons on piano, Edgar Willis on guitar, and Kenny Dennis on drums. This was recorded in 1957, and it took me this long to just find it. And I love it. I love it. I love it. This is Lead Stories. I'm Yatrice Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. You know, we gather here in our open forum. And we talk about the issues of the day, mindful that it's the thoughts that count. What you're thinking about what's happening in any sphere. There are no rules to that. You talk about what it is you want to talk about, but you can tell that we have had quite a week. What a week! And it's getting more and more bizarre. I'm having a really good time noticing how the pieces are slowly coming together and what is going on, the transition that we are all going through. I am, of course, not, I choose not to get worried about any of that. I see it as the country going through its thing. It doesn't have me and people like me in mind at all. It doesn't have anybody in mind. It has its own closed concerns in mind, and they're fighting among themselves. At this point, we just have to observe and analyze and figure out what our moves are going to be. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And let's hear what you're thinking about, whatever it is you choose to present for our consideration. And don't be surprised if somebody follows up and takes you on. But it's open. I like the idea of providing space in practically every program that people can react immediately to the subject, or as we do today on a Friday, when your thoughts aren't just part of the program, your thoughts and opinions are the program. So let's hear what you have to say. Harvey from Berkeley, you start us off today. Hello.
Thank you. Thank you, wonderful Yatrice.
Hey.
I hope you're
Thank
feeling
you.
a little better. You sound
Yeah, I'm
great.
hanging in.
All right. We're all with you. We're all with you.
Thank you.
I'd like to talk about a local issue here in California, and there's a website called Oil Money Out, oilmoneyout.com. And in the past year, the oil industry has spent a historic $36 million to lobby California lawmakers. And over the past 10 years, the fossil fuel industry has spent $260 million to influence California politics, which is more than any other interest group. The spending has paid huge dividends for the oil and methane companies, allowing them to quash any legislation that might significantly curb their power to drill and pollute California's freshwater aquifers and generate CO2 and pollute our atmosphere. And the record shows that elected officials in California are almost completely unwilling to take any action against the oil industry. And Governor Jerry Brown himself has taken over $10 million for himself and his initiatives and has fired his own regulators at the request of the oil industry for doing their job trying to protect the health of the people and the environment from drilling and fracking. And until the flow of money stops to our elected officials, nothing's going to change. So oilmoneyout.com has organized a march and a rally in Sacramento at the governor's office tomorrow, May 20th. And the time, it's Saturday, May 20th, from noon to 3 p.m. at the governor's mansion located at 16th Street and 8th Street in Sacramento. And if you go to their website, oilmoneyout.com, you'll get more information on the march and rally.
Well, this is a kind of a surprising turn of events, considering that the governor has had a record of consistent support for environmental issues, and now you're saying it's not exactly that right now.
Well, you're absolutely right. He has been fantastic in advancing one of the initiatives with 1 million solar rooftops in California. He's advanced the use of electric cars and promoted that. But at the same time, you know, he actually comes from a petroleum from a family that made their wealth in petroleum, and he's with them too. So we feel that, especially since we have the technology now, it's not that we don't have it. We have the electric cars, we have the battery systems for storage, we have the solar systems on our rooftops, and we certainly have plenty of sunshine. That it really is time to tell Governor Brown to not take the donations, the tremendous amount of donations and money to the legislature and himself, and turn his back on these people, because we're coming up against climate change, and the threat to humanity as we know it is very serious, and California is a major contributor to pollution because of the fossil fuel industry and their lobbyists, and so we're looking for a change here. So once again, tomorrow, noon to 3 at the governor's mansion, located at 16th Street and 8th Street in Sacramento, and you can go to oilmoneyout.com for more information.
Thank you, Harvey. I hope it goes well. I really hope it has an impact on him and causes him to reconsider. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
From South Carolina, Khalil, good to hear from you today.
Good afternoon. How are you, Latrice?
I'm hanging in.
Good.
I'm doing well. Thank you.
We are all thankful for you and PRN.
Thank you for that.
And, you know, I think you've said this before, but I thank your program for requiring people to think. You require your listeners to think. I like to listen to talk radio, and it just seems like the way you present yourself and your program, it requires people to raise their standards.
Well, thanks. That's good to hear.
And I want to free my mind right now about this position we're in now on an international stage because of this administration. And I've been listening to a lot of people make comments and talk, even in the face of what's clearly malfeasance and profound ignorance and other types of pathologies and maladies. But it appears that a large part of this situation is because we have never addressed this problem we have with ethnicity and race in this country. And it seems there's no way to, good way to talk about it, but it needs to be said, because a lot of these people who support this current administration, no matter what information is given to them, they will almost say, well, we put up with that black guy for 8 years. You know, this is our guy, so shut up. And this is the feeling I get as a middle-aged man. This is, you know, with my experience. Everyone sees things through their lens. That's my lens, is being a black person in this country. And it's not like I just am around black people all the time. You know, I'm pretty cultural. You know, I'm around a lot of different people. And this is just what I'm seeing, and I don't think it's healthy. And I think that we need to have discussions on a micro level and a macro level to try to allay this, because it's not just the mentally ill guy who's in charge. It's, once again, like your listeners have been saying, it's the people he's been putting in place. So the situation is very complicated at this point.
Well, you have to see it, too, as this is not something that just affects one sector. We're all affected by it. I mean, I watched, I don't know if you did, but I think it was on Wednesday night, CNN had this so-called debate between John Kasich and Bernie Sanders. It was a good idea. I mean, and I guess you can say that this was an effort by CNN to keep the public in touch with the issues, but from a different perspective. And from two unlikely sources debating, it was all civilized and everything. But what do you think I saw first? The first thing that I pay attention to is the environment of any event like that. And it was all white.
Mm-hmm.
The hosts were white. The guests, the debaters were white. And the audience was white. And guess what was particularly irritating to me?
What?
The debate was held in Washington, D.C. I mean, how do you manage to have an all-white event, a media event nonetheless, with an all-white audience ostensibly discussing national issues, okay? You're in the heart of Washington, D.C., which, if I recall, is a predominantly black city. So you see it in the media as liberal, quote unquote, or as progressive as they say they are. Essentially, even people with such advanced education can't see what they're doing. You know, they can't see it. It's staring them right in the face. And it doesn't occur to anybody. You know,
they're out of it. See, they're out of it. I've spent my job used to send me to D.C. for weeks at a time, and, you know, 2 weeks, 1 week, maybe 3 weeks. And, you know, it's like New York in a way where everyone might ride the metro. It's nice. It's clean. And there's so many people represented there. Even Anacostia. Now that's the ghetto in D.C. And it's not that bad. It's not like Philly. It's not like when New York used to be. It's not as bad as a lot of other ghettos, but right, like you said, that representation is lacking. And see, that's part of the problem. And if they really were serious, D.C. would have a real vote. They would have their own congressman, but they're not serious. That's an affront. It's an affront. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. I do. And I'm saying, even in the most so-called liberated circles,
mm-hmm.
There is no apology. There's no recognition that perhaps they need to rethink things, you know, and come up to snuff. And by doing so, setting an example that they really are committed to an equitable society, but they're not. And in a way, we have to read it, take them at their word. If they're organizing all white events before our eyes, not caring whether they're insulting people or communicating this kind of message, we right. have to take their word that that scenario absolutely reflects the truth of that, their truth. And it, their truth being, it's okay to continue the exclusion of people, even as a media organization.
It's not okay. And this actually segues into the last point I wanted to make, in that we can forget about the Republican Party. Anyone of conscience, we see what those folks are about. Anyone of conscience, it doesn't matter your background. You can see they're up to no good, and they have no good intentions for the greater numbers of the population of this country, period. So what we need to do with the Democratic Party, since we are a bicameral system, is I call it IPA, like the beverage. You know, we need to infiltrate, propagate, and then assume control. Because it is a two-party system. I like some of the third-party candidates, but just the way our system is set up, it's a two-party thing, so we have to co-opt them. Infiltrate, propagate, and assume control. That's what we must do, I think.
Well, you got us thinking, that's for sure.
Thank you.
You may hear your name referred to further on in the program, but thank you so much for your call and for planting the seed in our heads to consistently revisit and rethink. Thank you so much, Khalil, for your call today. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. This is Free Your Mind Friday on PRN.FM. Lead stories. Okay. So is any the events overnight, did they further change your mind about anything, or further reemphasize in your mind that the way you've been thinking is perfect? You're on course. You're doing well. What's going on? I'd like to know. I've been watching the role of media in particular, because on whichever side that you come down on, more than likely it was shaped by media coverage. And I don't remember a time in recent years that we have had so uniform a reckless media, just reckless. They don't care to cover the facts. They don't care to see the bigger picture. They don't care to really ascertain what is going on. They're constantly telling people what to think. And you can tell who has been co-opted and by whom, which side has possession of which media person covering this wide range of things that accompany the current situation that we're in. And it's unfortunate. Everybody now is a journalist. They just keep saying, you know, well, I'm a journalist. Judge Jeanine Pirro is the latest one to have described herself. She's a judge. She's a commentator and a journalist. And I'm saying, my goodness, then, you know, I could be a judge. All you have to do is have the right connections, and next thing you know, you are a journalist affecting public opinion, shaping public opinion, without having a broad range of experience, you know, and prepared in the craft of the art of journalism. I'm old-fashioned, but I like the idea that people who are in a position to shape public opinion would have been put through the paces as the journalists I know, and you go from stage to stage and you acquire certain skills and so forth to sit behind a microphone or, you know, and you opine, and that makes you a journalist we have a lot of things that are just falling apart before our very eyes. So it bothers me that, especially in this time when you need somebody who can give you a reasonably professional service by encouraging you to see as many dimensions of the story as possible. And they're really harsh with the language too. You know, this one is a dummy. That one is a this. This one is a that. And I have even had to check myself. You know, that's not the kind of language, and that's not the deportment that you want to maintain. But it is fast and loose. Everybody is doing their own thing under the cover that this is journalism. Rose from New York. Hello.
Hi, Utrice. I don't have a big picture, but a narrow picture, I think, has been reaffirmed. My point that the media is covering up for Comey. Yesterday, Trump spoke. Trump specifically brought out what I had mentioned, that when he testified Comey, everybody was saying how badly he did. Trump said that. Trump then went on to say yesterday, and after that, he even had to change his testimony. You know, after that, and so which reaffirms the point that he was doing poorly, and everybody thought so. Trump said this. I said that last time I spoke to you, and the media. I was waiting for the media to play that, with Trump saying that. They did not play it. Not once did they play that point that Trump brought up about Comey. They're covering up for him.
Well, apart from this, you know, that you think that certain things are underreported or go totally unreported. The fact is, do you find, as a whole, the media doing a good job of educating the public about what really is at stake here? Breaking news, even, about what is happening at any given time, but with a certain amount of authority. They're not doing a good job. The media is just not doing a good job at all of getting the public straight about what exactly is happening here.
I agree with you. You know, I agree. It's nothing but name calling. And I tend to, you know, I hate to say this. Well, I don't hate to say this. I agree with Trump that it's a witch hunt. They're doing an investigation without a crime. And I would like to know, is it against the law now to have freedom of speech and freedom of association so that a politician cannot talk to a member of another country? Did we declare war with Russia? I would like to know that. You know, they're just throwing this out. Collusion. What on earth does that even mean?
But also, you have to understand, Trump himself has brought a lot of negative coverage unto himself by his own conduct and by the conduct of the people in his administration who are advising him. And frankly, by his deliberate and intentional ignorance, he is not doing his homework. You would imagine that if you are going to be occupying the highest office in the land, you would do some research.
Well, he did his research about Comey. The guy was incompetent. He showed himself under oath. He showed himself to be grossly incompetent by throwing the wieners under the bus and implying that they had committed a crime. And then he had to correct himself. This is the head of the FBI doing this. That's gross incompetent. And Trump fired him. So just like Trump, everybody would see it as a unifying moment because everybody was saying how incompetent he was. Now all of a sudden the media goes berserk as if, oh my God, he's their fair-haired boy. How dare you do this to Mr. Integrity, Mr. Comey? I don't get it.
Contrast that with the way we covered Comey here on this program. Did you listen to how we approached James Comey? And on what basis we examined James Comey?
Yes, regarding all that, the horrendous stuff with the Clinton Foundation, you know? Yeah. To me, the Clintons, it's like, he found his little hobby. You know, the white man's burden.
But that's the point I'm making. The point I'm making, Rose, is that that is journalism. It's not about, Trump and Comey are having a fight. It's and Comey bringing attention to Trump's foibles and his flaws, and his, of course, the implication, of course, too, is that, he has committed some strange acts and they're going to be investigated and so forth. We investigated and we reported on James Comey that showed this person who is being held up, in high esteem, and he can do no wrong. Well, there was a lot wrong that we reported on James Comey. And that is directly related to the relationship, not only between Comey and Trump, but between Comey and the apparatus of government. Comey, therefore, we said in our coverage, by virtue of his past, these questionable things. I mean, how do you go from about 120 or whatever thousand as a civil servant to past $35 million as your net worth as a civil servant? The people who are supposed to be doing the journalism to find the answers to that kind of question, that's not where they're interested in going. They're not talking about Mr. Comey. Is there any reason to be suspicious or to have reservations about James Comey and what he's representing himself as? We're seeing also I'm going to borrow Donald Trump's word for it. We're seeing how the swamp works. Who covers whom in order to get what? This is what I'm saying. This is where journalism is such a good thing. Because if really good journalism were being done, we would understand the nature of the swamp, which swallows them all. They're all in it. And so the tendency as a person listening or reading that kind of journalism, the tendency would be to take a hands-off position, trust no one, because they all have major flaws and they're all trying to hide them and quickly. And we're seeing how one entity run as a criminal enterprise. Nobody's talking about Hillary Clinton, the Clinton Foundation. It's a criminal enterprise run between a former president and a former secretary of state, as the book is titled, Partners in Crime. And how far-reaching it is. Now, that's the story here. We need to appreciate that. Don't just tell me that the story is about Trump and whether he's going to be impeached. The story is the nature of this enterprise called government in Washington, D.C., how it has operated for years as a corrupt organization. And it is not so much that the investigation should be about Donald Trump and whether he knew this or did that. It should be that the prosecution essentially should be based on the RICO statutes, because everybody seems to be involved in some kind of major crime here and should be prosecuted under the corrupt or the RICO statutes, corrupt or whatever it is. Corrupt something, well, I'm fading right now on what it stands for. But we are looking at the far reaches of corruption in our government. It's not limited to Trump. It was before Trump. It is now with Trump. But he didn't start this. And the whole apparatus is involved now. They're all involved in covering their butts. They don't want the people to see how for decades and decades the government has been run. Trillions of dollars, taxpayer dollars misdirected and redirected and made to disappear. But I want somebody to explain to me, what did he win the sweepstakes? Did he bet on a great horse and ended up with $30-odd million of net worth as a government servant? Now you got to be kidding me. And nobody finds that odd. The Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act. That is really what is facing us here. We as citizens, we should insist that if they want to do a great service to the American people, to the extent that they can extend this investigation backward in time, they should. Because the people who are now being made the arbiters of truth should be prosecuted for past deeds and probably current deeds. Thanks so much, Rose, for your call. Very good ideas. Leslie from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Yours too.
I'm glad you're doing better.
Thank you.
Okay. I want to talk about the Glass-Steagall Act because our government is run by corrupt politicians and their kleptocratic supporters. The nation and the dollar may collapse at any time because the government has a $20 trillion debt and our GDP is much less than that. So the Glass-Steagall Act was instated by the Roosevelt administration and it was taken apart by Bill Clinton and his Secretary of the Treasury, unfortunately. And the Dodd-Frank bill, and I think there was another bill that was supposed to fix our financial system. But neither one of those bills has all the stuff that was in the Glass-Steagall Act that would have prevented the 2008 Depression. And we're still on our way there. We're headed for another collapse. Unless we get the Glass-Steagall Act going again, it's going to get much worse. And none of these other problems will make any difference if the country has a financial collapse, because it's going to be worse than 1933. On top of that, if the dollar collapses, which is the reserve currency of the world, it's going to affect billions of people, not just Americans. And if the whole world is affected by a dollar crash, then it's going to be a really long time before the world gets back on its feet. So people should go to a website and get more information on the Glass-Steagall Act and restoring it. And that website is LaRouchePac.com, LaRouchePac.com. Or they should look it up on the congressional website. And there are several congresspeople who are pushing a Restore the Glass-Steagall Act bill. They should, once they get that information, they should call the congresspeople and tell them to support the Glass-Steagall Act. Otherwise, we're all in for a really rough time, and this could happen at any day.
But we also have to see evidence that it matters to the government itself. Look at how many crimes have been committed. I mean, these are huge crimes, Bernie Madoff types of crimes. And you don't see very much an effort being made to prosecute these crimes and make them pay, make them go to jail, confiscate their spoils, the banks, prosecute the banks, not just give them the opportunity to, you know, dole out a couple of million dollars in fines, but to actually put people in jail. Now, Preet Bharara was in New York City. He was the U.S. attorney there. And, of course, he's fired. But we look at the Obama administration, abysmal. Everybody breaking the law was allowed to pay a fine and, you know, a slap on the wrist, and we were all good again.
Yes, he was abysmal.
You see, the thing is, the people have, and it's unfortunate that it is this way, but if we had good journalism, and we do have some good journalism, but the people have to make this felt at the political level.
The people have to get out of the streets the way they have been doing since Trump came into office. And in order to, and they also have to push the Congress people. And we have to weed out those corrupt politicians. But
for 8 years, it didn't happen under Obama.
The mainstream media is, and they're telling us the truth, and they're giving us the right information, and they're giving us a lot of crap news. So PRN.com has several hosts whom are excellent at giving out good information. And I know some of your listeners are listening to some of them now because if they found you, they're listening to other people too. But the Black Agenda Report is one of the better ones, ProjectCensored.org. There's also TheNation.com. And LuisePack.com that I mentioned earlier has a ton of news that would tell you the truth about what's really going on in this world. Try RT.com, even though it's Russian television, and there might be some elements of propaganda in there, but there are several American hosts whom are not giving you propaganda. They're giving you the truth of what's going on inside this world. We could also, not only are we on the brink of a financial collapse, we could be on the brink of World War III, because the USA and NATO are surrounding Russia with missiles and the former satellites of the Soviet Union. Then there's so much turmoil in this country that we could be on the brink of civil war. I mean, it is, when you get the real news, it can be overwhelming. However, if you sit on your behind and do nothing, we will all be run over like a steamroller. We can't just complain on the radio. We have to talk to our friends and our families, call our Congress people, join organizations that are trying to turn this country back around to where it's a good country for everybody. I'm not saying this country is perfect. The Constitution is not perfect, but we have to fix it. And it will not be a better country if we, the citizens, don't fix it.
Well, I think I can't disagree with you at all on that point. But I also think we have to fix the system, too, by taking active measures against those people who continue to betray us, who continue to put us in peril. We don't take action against them at all. We let them go. We talk a little bit. We're upset. But I'm talking about targeted action where they should never, when they do crimes of this magnitude, they should never have the possibility of a political life. That ought to come to an abrupt and permanent end. They should not be able to be in a position to make policies and to direct any aspect of governmental life as it affects us. Thank you, Leslie. Excellent information that you shared with us today. Thank you so much. Dawood from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hey, you, Trees. How are you?
Oh, this is you.
How are you doing?
How are you? Dawood?
We're doing good.
Dawood Andre is the one of the fighting spirits of Komokoda. Remember, we talked about the Haitian group that is very determined to give Hillary Clinton a very warm welcome on June the 8th when Medgar Evers College has its commencement. So tell us what's happening.
Yes, I'm calling for a progress report and to greet your audience as well. I have to tell you, you have a very spirited, your audience doesn't just participate on the radio. Last week, we were invited by the United African Movement to speak about this issue, and it's because the UAM family heard it on your program, and they got on board, they made flyers, and they had copies of your radio program from the first time you spoke about this. And we've been leafleting in front of the school. We're going again today 3 to 5 p.m. So if anybody in the listening audience is in New York, nearby, come and join us. That's at 16.
Could you do this, Dawood? Could you give a synopsis of what the issue is and why
what
it is,
the issue is
important for you to for people to be concerned and to support those taking action?
That's why they say on the radio, you always have to thank somebody who's listening for the first time. So, right. Yes, the Rudy crew, who was former a school chancellor in New York and Miami, was thrown out of both places, is now the president of Medgar Evers College. And he announced that it was April 7th, a New York Times article where it was announced that he had invited Hillary Clinton to be the commencement speaker for the graduating class of 2017. And at the same occasion, which is will happen on June 8th, it's a Thursday at 9 a.m., at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, Medgar Evers College is going to award Hillary Clinton an honorary doctorate. Our organization, as Yatrice said, we've been for years fighting to let the world know who the Clintons are. I don't think, you know, people don't know, but I think that for some reason, some people, some of our family, they think that this is a lesser evil. And, you know, being from Haiti and what they did in Haiti, and being a black people over here, looking at what they've done to black people over here, we're like, you know, how are you going to find more evil than the Clintons, you know? So we fought against her candidacy, and Medgar Evers College is in our community. As I said before, my son is at Medgar Evers. As a matter of fact, he's graduating in the same graduation that Hillary Clinton is to speak. And many of our members as well have children in the school or are graduating. So we said Hillary Clinton is no role model for our kids. So we started this campaign, and it says not in Medgar Evers' name. We're not going to allow Rudy Crew and the CUNY school system to disrespect his legacy. And we don't want people to make it like if you are against Trump, you have to embrace the Clintons, or if you're against the Clintons, that means, you know, you agree you're a fan of Donald Trump. Now, for family who might not have been listening to you, Trish, the past few years, you know, the Clintons, what can you say about the Clintons, you know? The Clinton Foundation, you know, that some people over here, they know about the super predators that she called those kids at Medgar Evers College. These are the kids, you know, that the super predators, black, Latino youth. And they try to portray themselves as, you know, doing good around the world, helping Haiti, but they're stealing billions of dollars. And as you've heard, if folks who listen here, they have this foundation giving sham drugs to people in what is called the third world, and they're making money on top of it, you know? So we don't believe this is the kind of example that has to be put up in front of our children. So
what would a person interested in supporting this move to bring to the public, the public's attention, not only the role that the Clintons have had in Haiti and other parts of the African diaspora, but this is a direct insult, really, to the memory and legacy of Medgar Evers, who was assassinated as he struggled in behalf of people's rights. And so what can people do to help when this commencement approaches on June 8th?
what we are doing, we have like thousands of flyers we're giving in front of the school, in the neighborhood, in Bed-Stuy, in Crown Heights, Flatbush, to let people know that this is happening, because a lot of people don't know. And we, I have to say, we have support not just from the UAM, but December 12th, Assemblyman Charles Barron, the International Concerned Friends of Mumia, UNIA, WADU, many other organizations. But somebody, if you're listening and you want to help, if you, like I said, if you're in the area, 1650 Bedford Avenue, we'll be there 3 to 5 p.m. today. Come join us. We'll have plenty of flyers. You can help us distribute in the community. If you want to get in touch with Comocoda, it's 347-730-3620, 347-730-3620. The UAM, United African Movement, the Freedom Party, like I said, is also fully on board. They'll be there with us today. Their number is 917-947-8994, 917-947-8994. If you cannot come, you're not close by, we ask that you call Rudy Cruz's office, 718-270-5000, 718-270-5000. Call also the CUNY Chancellor, James Milliken. It's 646-664-9100, and tell them that you do not agree with this, that Hillary Clinton is not a role model for our children. And what we are saying, everything we are doing right now until the 8th is to, you know, for them to realize that Hillary has a scheduling issue. She cannot make it, you understand? And if she resolves the issue and she's going to be there, if she is there, we're going to protest inside and outside.
Thanks a lot, Dawood, for bringing us up to snuff, because this is very important. I think it is outrageous that arrangements were made, especially to coincide with her formation of her new PAC, Onward Together, which raises questions, and we've dealt with that already, about whether this is the Clinton Foundation Part 2. But this is important to, I'm looking at it more from the point of view of standing up for the legacy of Medgar Evers, and that we insist that that legacy is not at all to be besmirched by having that person come on campus and having it arranged that she would be given these honors just as she is about to launch her new political career. And we need to thwart that. We need to stop that in its tracks. But most importantly, we must demonstrate that our leaders, who literally have given their lives to the struggle and the cause of freedom and justice in this country, they will not be used as props. They will not be dishonored. Certainly. And if the grievous thing, the most grievous thing, is that this is being done in order to assist Mrs. Clinton with her marketing. Thanks a lot for calling
Thank
in today,
you,
Dawood.
Eugene.
I appreciate
Thank
it. Pat from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
How you doing, Ms. Eugene? How's everything?
I'm okay. How you doing?
Okay. I'm fine. Well, I'm going to give you the update part, too. I'm glad Brother Andre just called. And I was going to do the first. He did the first part, and if you don't mind, can I do the second part of the update?
Well, sure.
Okay. Well, once I heard you speaking on this situation in Mega Evers, I immediately went into action, and that's how the United African Movement came involved. So listening to your show was how I found out that this whole thing was happening. So we gathered and we contacted Brother Andre and we jumped on board. And like he said, we immediately got posters and flyers out. And his legacy is one of the main reasons that we decided that we didn't want his name to be used to prop Hillary up. So we came up with these flyers that said, not in Megan Evers' name. Do not disrespect his legacy. Tell Rudy Crew no honorary doctorate degree for Hillary. And he said today he will be out there once again with him joining in formation, letting the students know who, prior to him going out there and protesting, the student body was not even aware that she was going to be at the commencement. It wasn't until she went there letting the students know. Now, last Tuesday that just passed, we were there, and one of the faculty members came out and spoke to me, and they said, apparently what y'all have been doing here is impacting, because they're calling a meeting right now. They're inside meeting, and what they're trying to do is get the students to decide. Since it's your commencement, it's up to y'all. But prior to up to y'all, they didn't even know she was coming. So Rudy Crew and his cronies are now trying to use the students. So we're going to use the students because my daughter graduating out of Mega Evers. I live right here in the Crown Heights community, and we are concerned about her second coming for her political campaign. And we're saying if Columbia University, Baruch University wants to honor her, go ahead. I wouldn't have a problem with it, but not Mega Evers' name.
Well, by the way, I was listening to one of her older speeches recently, and she mentioned his name, except she called him, she spoke in very condescending ways, of course, just to show people how close she is to the African-American community, but she kept calling him Medgar Evers.
So, was she saying it with her drawl?
I'm sorry?
Was she saying it with her drawl?
was a student on the throne. But, you know, Medgar Evers, at least a fundamental thing is, if you're going to go to a group honoring Medgar Evers, you should at least remember that that is his name, not Medgar Evers. And she said it more than once. But this is good. And we need to really get some momentum now, because she has to be told, it has to be clear that we are not part of her adoring fans. And we know who she is. We know what she has done. We will not tolerate it. And certainly we will not tolerate under any circumstances besmirching and just completely setting aside the incredible contributions of Medgar Evers to all people. We should let her know that for sure. Thanks a lot for calling.
Real resistance.
I'm sorry?
I said we're telling people join the real resistance. That's her second coming. She's part of the resistance.
Oh, yeah. She has decided the first thing she would do is usurp this whole concept of the resistance. She is the resistance there.
So we're telling people, come out and join the real resistance.
The real resistance. That's great. Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot, Pat, for your update. And that brings us to the end of the program today. I just wanted to stress that we all in our own ways can make a contribution. And it is important for us to account to ourselves as to what it is that we're doing, what are we contributing, what are we in the end, are we helping the situation any? And are we committed to anything that we say we are committed to? It is outrageous that in 2017, these kinds of efforts have to be made. We just talked about that with Khalil from South Carolina. This is where we still are. And for the foreseeable future, this is where we are going to be, at the intersection of race and class. We have to find a way to contribute to dismantling that scenario where we always find ourselves battling both on the race front and on the class front. So we got to do something. And especially with Hillary Clinton, we have to make an effort to support the students, because the students need to know that they are backed up. The faculty members who are taking an affirmative stance here, because literally they're putting their careers on the line, they have to know that they have backup. And we don't need to have any excuses about it. We don't need to be embarrassed about fighting for what is right. I want to say thank you to all of you. I've gotten so many kind thoughts and wishes. I want you to know that I lean heavily on them every single day to pull me through and to keep me going. So I want to thank you for your generosity of spirit, your love, your kind thoughts, and of course your sense of humor, because it's always good to hold on to that. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Alternative Visions with Dr. Jack Rasmus. You can reach me at leadstories, L-E-I-D, stories at gmail.com. And I should mention here, I do look a little bit like Popeye, my right arm and hand all bandaged up and everything. So I'm not able to use it efficiently to get back to you right away. So if you're patient, you will hear from me, but bear that in mind. I can't type or anything like I used to. So it will be a while before that gets back into gear. But in the meantime, I so enjoy your company. I so enjoy your support for this program and for the station. And I encourage you to stay close. A pleasure always, and a great privilege to be in your company. Have yourselves a great weekend. Surround yourselves with positive people who bring positive dimension to your life. And run like hell away from people who do not. See you Monday. Bye-bye.